The Theosophical Society, with whose work we are all deeply concerned, has a character and a function which are special to itself. And yet, it is rather difficult to define what is that character which it possesses and which distinguishes it from various other bodies. It is much easier to say what the Theosophical Society is not than to say what it is. In fact, we can eliminate many kinds of bodies as not being identical with the Theosophical Society. Is it a religious body? No, it is not in the conventional sense of the term. It may be have an element of the religious in it, but it is not a religious in the ordinary sense, because it is not a church, it has no priests, there is no authoritative text or scripture whose words we have to accept. There is no hierarchy, no dogmas and tenets, no belief imposed upon the members. In other words, it does not have the characteristics of an ordinary religious body. HBB said that Theosophy is not a religion. But she followed up that phrase by saying it's religion itself. Now we can just as well say that the Theosophical Society is not a philosophical society, because there are many philosophical societies, associations, departments all over the world. Every university almost has a department of philosophy. And there are innumerable professors of philosophy who are much better versed in the philosophies of the world than members of the Theosophical Society are in general. But almost all of them are armchair philosophers. They will tell you about the different schools of Eastern and Western philosophy, lecture most competently, and are learned people. But when it comes to living their ordinary lives, their philosophy deserts them. I'm sure most of the professors of philosophy are as much at a loss as other people are when dealing with their family problems or with death or with the various questions which may trouble them in their daily life. The Theosophical Society is not certainly a scientific association, because there are very few in the society who really know science. We do not have the equipment for that. But there is something of science in our society. The society is not academic, either as scientifically academic or philosophically academic, It is not a social service organization. We have the Theosophical Order of Service, and we do try to help all those who suffer physically. But if the society were to do only that kind of work, it would no more be the Theosophical Society. We cannot imagine the Theosophical Society spending all its resources, human and otherwise, on running orphanages or establishing old people's homes. It may be very good work. We certainly give support to that and do something of it. But the society is more than that. Similarly, it is not meant for doing psychical research, for examining the nature of extrasensory perception or clairvoyance or telepathy or whatever it is. There are other associations, other bodies doing research in this direction. So it's none of these things. It's not a cultural society. Again, if the Theosophical Society were to make its programs purely cultural, organizing concerts and art programs and so on, it would cease to be the Theosophical Society. And yet, there is something of all this in the Theosophical Society. It has a philosophy to present to the world, a certain world view. But it is not a philosophy which has been converted into a system. It is a world view to be examined, explored, experienced, and understood. And more than anything else, translated into action. It has to be a world view which has a relevance to our daily life and relationships. That is why we cannot consider it as purely philosophical, because the purely philosophical is speculative, metaphysical, while theosophical philosophy has a great practical relevance, without which it would not be theosophy. The society is not scientific, yet its approach is scientific. The approach is rational, an approach which encourages testing one's ideas and investigating. And we say that there is no religion higher than truth. We do not impose belief, but present only postulates. Many people think that the Theosophical Society declares the truth of reincarnation, karma, and so on. The Theosophical Society does not, although theosophists may have. But all these questions are presented as reasonable hypotheses for us to consider. And if we find that there is enough validity, after examining it, we think that it is reasonable, we may accept it, hold it tentatively if we like. Maybe a time will come when we will realize the truth of it for ourselves. Very few of us can say that we know that reincarnation is a fact. We don't. But we only know that it is a most reasonable explanation. A time may come when we may know it as a fact, but at present, most of us do not. Until we know it for ourselves, we have to accept that there is something to be investigated and known as a truth. But our entire approach is scientific. Although we are not a social service organization, we are definitely humanitarian, philanthropic in our approach. Nothing that touches the welfare of humanity, and in fact, the welfare of all life, can be a matter of indifference to members of the Theosophical Society or to the society as a whole. We are concerned with the progress and perfection of humanity at every level, physical, moral, intellectual, spiritual, not only with progress at a certain level. We cannot say we are indifferent to social progress or the economic welfare of people or their physical welfare. We are interested, and yet if we are not concerned only with the physical welfare, if we were, then we wouldn't be the Theosophical Society. We are not a cultural society, but there is a cultural element in the Theosophical Society. And certainly we cannot ignore the elevating influence of music or of the arts or of those perceptions which are truly aesthetic. So there is in the society an intermixture, a fusion of many elements, and it would be wrong to think that one element is more important than another. There are some who say that if we talk about brotherhood, if we declare that our object is to establish brotherhood, we should go out and do things for people. There is the famine in Ethiopia. Why don't we all put our energies into that? We may help in that, but we cannot convert the society into an organization for the relief of famine, obviously. Because if the emphasis is on one particular aspect outweighs everything else, then the character of the society is lost. Now, to understand where the balance lies, I feel that we must give our attention to a word which one of the Mahatmas used in speaking about the work of the Theosophical Society in the early days. It was a time when the important persons with whom they were in correspondence were demanding that more and more phenomena should be performed. Because these persons thought that by performing phenomena, the Mahatmas would be convincing the world of the truths of Theosophy. But the Mahatmas did not agree with that. They said that the world which is skeptical would not be convinced by producing the Pioneer, which was published in the city of Allahabad in India, the next moment in London or anything like that. The skeptics would always demand more proofs and find reasons for showing that there was fraud. And in any case, that was not the purpose of the society. They said it is not meant to be a hall of magic. The primary purpose of the society is something different. And this used the word regeneration in connection with brotherhood, which I think is a very important word. They were concerned with the whole of humanity, deeply concerned with the condition of the human mind. They mentioned the fact that human nature has not changed for millennia. It has always been the same. full of strife, unhappiness, because it has remained selfish. And they were concerned with a change in the human mind, with the bringing about of a new mind, which is regeneration. And that is the fundamental work of the Theosophical Society. And if we understand that, we can understand in what way we should be philosophical, religious, scientific, humanitarian, and so forth. Of course, the object of brotherhood, establishing brotherhood, is extremely important from this point of view. Because brotherhood, from the theosophical viewpoint, is not a superficial thing. It is not just the meeting together of different races to discuss certain things, to be reasonably polite and kind with each other. It is something which is much deeper, and that is concerned with this new mind, a mind in which there is no sense of division. Madame Blavatsky said that in order to understand what is true occultism, one must learn to live with a sense of non-separateness. But in all our minds, there is this sense of separation. And it expresses itself in so many ways. We may not believe in the separation of different races or nationalities, but when we meet each other, we may feel superior in certain ways. When we point to the faults of others, what does it mean? If I say, so-and-so is proud, it means that I think I am free of that fault, and therefore I am better. Implicit in every criticism is this measurement or valuation of people, some above and some below. And of course, most often, we are at the higher levels and others are at the lower levels. But this is only one small example. In our mind, generally, the sense of difference is continually displaying itself. It may be in subtle ways and not in crude ways, but it exists there. And it is all part of the problem of the world. If the world is to be different, a world in which truth and goodness are to prevail, then there has to be a totally different kind of mind. And one of the features of that mind would be this sense of non-difference. Therefore, the first object of the society is very closely linked with the question of regeneration. And that is why the adept spoke about regenerative brotherhood, not ordinary brotherhood, but that kind of brotherhood which makes us into different kind of people. People who cannot do wrong, because we are people who are beginning to feel the sense of the oneness of life. Because the very basis of morality, of ethics, is the sense of non-separateness. Madame Blavatsky said, ethics are the soul of theosophy, because theosophy or wisdom consists in realizing the oneness of life, which means abolishing the sense of the separate self, and out of which all virtues, morality, spring. But if we understand this whole direction, which is of bringing about a new mind, we can also understand various different things. Take the second object of the Theosophical Society. It is impossible for the average member of the society to make a study of comparative religion, philosophy and science except in an elementary kind of way. We are not scientists, not been trained to understand science. Nobody now can really know science because scientific knowledge has become so wide. They have to specialize in some branch of science. There was a time when a man could know physics, but now it's impossible to know physics. He has to know some branch of physics. Only a short time ago, there was a physicist of whom the question was asked, "What is your specialty?" He said, "Crystal physics." And he said, "It's impossible to study crystal physics. It has to be some part of crystal physics." So it is becoming more and more specialized because there is so much information, so much knowledge in every small area of science. So how are we going to study science? We cannot. If we pretend that we are, then it's only a pretense. Similarly, I do not think many of us are in a position to study either comparative religion or philosophy. In the university departments and learned institutions of the world, where they have extensive libraries and exchange of staff, special lectures and other facilities, they are able to do it much better than we can. There are numerous schools of philosophy, each with its own distinctive way of thinking, its own concept of the universe and of man. Even to know one such philosophy thoroughly is difficult, but we cannot know all the philosophies of the world, nor can we know all the religions. Comparative religion is a vast subject. So we can understand that second object properly only if we think in terms of regeneration. What are the elements in scientific knowledge, for example, which can help the human mind to change, to become the new mind, a mind which will not create problems, but on the other hand, generate happiness and lead towards that perfection which is the destiny of all human beings? What are those aspects of philosophy and of religion which can help man? In every religion, there are many superstitions, wrong ideas, dogmas which cannot be tolerated by any intelligent person or independent person. So a member of the Theosophical Society has to examine the different religions, his own religion, to find out what is the regenerative element in that religion. From that point of view, no real theosophist can be a conventional Hindu or Christian or Muslim or whatever it is. Because to be conventional means to accept, to be conditioned. And therefore, every real theosophist who has a feeling for his religion has to be a reformist. And reform means to consider what is truly good in that religion. Not accept it because we happen to be born in the religion, but to use our discrimination and intelligence to reject what is superstitious, harmful, etc. In every religion has been an excuse for promoting hatred. See what is happening in Ireland, where the Catholics and Protestants have been fighting bitterly for years. The similar thing is happening in the Middle East. The war between Iraq and Iran is the war between two sects, the Shias and the Sunnis. And so in all these cases, religion becomes a reason for hating people, killing people, causing destruction. So we cannot accept that kind of religion. So we have to discover what is true religion, what is really the religious mind. Similarly, what is the world view or philosophy? What is the concept of man, God and the universe, which are said to be the subjects of philosophy? If you don't like the word God, you can substitute the word power, which works through the universe. What is that element? What is that world view which can really help in people to become different? Cooperative, not competitive. Kindly, not cruel. And so on. So, we have to take up and encourage the study of comparative religion, philosophy and science, keeping in the background of our minds this question of transformation, of becoming different human beings. Similarly, when trying to understand the third object, which is very much misunderstood, we have to think again of regeneration. The powers latent in mind, in man, could be thought of in many different ways. There are enthusiasts who feel that the Theosophical Society should start research in ESP and various things like that. But suppose we knew more about extrasensory perception, telepathy, and so on, would we be better people? There is immense knowledge in the present day. Knowledge which is growing day by day. Knowledge about the oceans, about the skies, about the atoms, about the genes, about everything. But increasing knowledge is not creating a happier earth or better human beings. Suppose we had knowledge of other things, of the subtler worlds. Instead of knowing the geography of the physical earth, you knew all about the geography of the astral world. Instead of knowing about the structure of various forms down here, you knew about the structure of forms at a subtler level. It's also knowledge. It does not have a transforming effect. There are many people who have brought all kinds of messages across from the other side and who claim to give more information on various abstruse subjects. Of course, there are many interesting things. Suppose you study botany. Botany is a very interesting subject. It can be a lifetime of study. But we cannot say everything interesting is theosophy, because by learning botany, however interesting it may be, you do not necessarily become a wiser human being. So what we are concerned with is that kind of knowledge which will bring about a different human mind, a new mind. And more concern with psychical phenomena certainly does not do that, nor capacity to perform such phenomena. In India, there are many, many ordinary people who can perform all kinds of phenomena. I have myself seen some of the famous tricks, if I may call them that. They may not be tricks, You know, you may have heard about how a person can put a mango seed in the earth and in front of your eyes make it grow into a little plant. I have seen it myself, and various things like that. But these are very ordinary people with no wisdom at all. But that is not what we want, sensation. What we want is a new mind. So the powers latent in man with which we are concerned are not the psychic powers, which do not bring about that change which will create a happier world, but those powers which are at a deeper level in the spiritual nature of man. That spiritual nature is full of the power of wisdom, the power of love, the power of purity, the power of harmony. All that is inherent in consciousness. Consciousness at the deepest levels is like a wonderful diamond flashing different colors. And the more that consciousness awakens, the more it shows all these qualities. They have said that truth, beauty and goodness, you know, are the fundamental values. Both in Greece and India they said that. In India they said that God is truth, beauty and goodness. Or you can reverse it and say truth, beauty and goodness are God. Because when you begin to realize those values, then you know something of that which is beyond, that which is supreme. And it is those powers we must awaken within ourselves. The power of harmony, to be able to live in total harmony with all things. There are many different definitions of yoga. In the Bhagavad Gita, you find several different definitions. One of them is yoga is harmony. Yoga is equilibrium. You can translate it in different ways. The yogi is one who is always, irreversibly, unalterably in a state of harmony. He does not say that other people don't act properly, therefore I am not able to be in a state of harmony, because his harmony wells up from within his own deepest nature. It has nothing to do with the behavior of other people. So all the truly spiritual qualities are like that, not dependent on circumstances, not dependent on other people. True love is not dependent on what the other person does or says, whether he responds or not. True love is something which radiates out on its own. So it is though these are the latent powers in man with which we are concerned with. That is the treading of the spiritual path. And we are concerned with understanding the laws of nature also in order to bring about that change within the human mind. Now, I might mention just one or two more points, because we do not have the time to consider the whole subject in depth, but I hope it will be a subject which everyone will think about. There is in the Theosophical Society an essential quality which is that of universality. It is connected with all that we have been talking about. That because the society is for the whole of humanity. As I mentioned earlier, those elder brethren who inspired the founding of the society were concerned deeply with the condition of humanity. They mentioned they said humanity has a paramount claim upon us, and so does the Theosophical Society. But sometimes one finds in the society a kind of sectarian outlook. There are people in India, for example, who say that everything which is in theosophy is in the Upanishads and the Bhagavad Gita. We don't need anything else. So we will study this. Suppose a theosophical lodge studies only the Bhagavad Gita or the Upanishads. It shuts out other people who may not be interested in that, whose approach is not the same. If a Muslim came to that lodge, he would find no place in it. He would find no welcome. But this is not an attitude which is peculiar only to some lodges in India. It's only an occasional lodge which takes that view. Recently, in Australia, the president of a lodge told me that we believe in Western esoteric tradition and we don't feel the need of Eastern tradition because Western esoteric tradition is more creative. Now, if we begin to divide like this, West, East, Hindu, Muslim, then the very function of the Theosophical Society ceases to be. We cannot convert the work of any lodge into something very limited and sectarian in that sense. And it must be universal. But that does not mean that anything and everything can be propagated through a Theosophical lodge or through any unit of the Theosophical Society. Because if we did that, we would be promoting perhaps superstitions, leading people the wrong way, and so on. There are some who say that, who feel very satisfied. For example, if they ask people from many different groups, sects, religions, to come and use the platform of the Theosophical Society. But it ends there. Suppose we have people talking about their particular religion in their own narrow, fanatical way. The Muslim talks about his orthodox Islamic religion, the Christian about his orthodoxy, and so on. Is anybody the wiser? Simply by opening our platform to all people equally, or saying that all religions are equally good, we are not promoting theosophy. Because as we said, the Theosophical Society is concerned with that which will regenerate the human mind. And promoting every kind of dogma, narrow view, does not do that. So one has to preserve a wide outlook, a Catholicity in one's approach, and yet be very discriminative, totally concerned with the creation of a different attitude of mind, a different quality of mind. This is, I think, very important for the Theosophical Society. Another very important matter is that in the society, a sense of self-reliance, self-dependence has to be created. The light on the path says, within you is the light you seek, the light of the world, I think it says. And which is true, because nobody can see what he does not prepare his consciousness to see. There may be a flower which is extraordinarily beautiful, but a dull mind may not experience the beauty of that flower. In fact, there is the beauty of divine thought, of the divine creative energy, everywhere in life, in every point, every human being, every atom. But it is our own dullness which prevents us from seeing it. There is the significance of that supreme nature everywhere, but we fail to see that significance. And we cannot see what we do not train ourselves to see. No master, no illumined person can make another see. In one of the ancient texts, it is said that there are two kinds of examples which one can give. If a person falls into debt, his son may pay the debt off for him. But if a person falls ill, the son cannot take the medicine instead of him. He has to take the medicine himself. So, on the path of wisdom, it is not possible for somebody else to act on our behalf. We have all got to fulfill those conditions necessary to obtain the wisdom, which means training oneself, purifying oneself, making one's consciousness broad enough, clear enough, and sensitive enough to be able to see the depths of life, the significance of life, the truth which lies everywhere. And if there are teachings which promote something contrary, then those teachings have no place in the Theosophical Society. In the present day, there are many who advocate a chaotic life. They say you can live any way you like, become a drug addict, or live a promiscuous life, be a pleasure seeker, remain selfish, but you sit at my feet, kiss the stool on which I place my legs, or I will put my finger on your forehead and you will be raised to supreme spiritual levels. You don't have to do anything, I will do it on your behalf, provided you become an obedient disciple of mine. Now, that kind of teaching, the putting of somebody on a pedestal, abdicating responsibility, is not part of the work of the Theosophical Society. The Society has deliberately not set up any authority. There is an official statement to the effect that there is no authority in the Society, not even HPB. Because when we accept something blindly, indulge in belief, it means we put away our intelligence and our power to discriminate. It is that spiritual discrimination which is essential on the path. We, at every step, we have to find out for ourselves what is real and what is unreal, what is essential, what is not essential. And we have to open our eyes to see deeper and deeper. And for that, we have to prepare ourselves, accept the conditions necessary, go through the training necessary, and so on. So, the path to the temple of wisdom is not through self-indulgence, not through chaotic living. HPB mentioned what that path is: a clean life, an open mind, a pure heart, an eager intellect, a brotherliness for all, and so on. And all those qualities have to be built in within oneself. And that wisdom cannot be obtained by anyone who is willing to allow any sense of selfishness to remain within himself. If the self is there, and to the extent that self is there, there is the unregenerate mind. And therefore, all the work in the Society has to be done in a spirit of self-forgetfulness. There are so many difficulties which crop up because we still continue to nourish the self. Sometimes when an office has to be taken, nobody is willing to take the office because each one thinks about his own comfort, his convenience. Everything else comes first. At other times, people are anxious to hold office and very unwilling to relinquish office. That also comes from the self. There are others who want recognition, who feel hurt if they are not appreciated. All that should not have any place in the Theosophical Society. It must be a society where there is real cooperation. That cooperation does not exist in the world outside because there is so much selfishness. It is only when we abandon selfishness that real cooperation can come into being. I've said before, but I'll say it again, the Theosophical Society is not meant merely to talk about brotherhood, but to be an actual nucleus of brotherhood. It must show an example of cooperation, of understanding, of being tolerant of the differences which exist within in our opinions and so on. And unless we show an example, the society will not really fulfill its function, nor earn the respect it should. It is not necessary that we should be extraordinarily brilliant people or geniuses or anything of the kind. But if the world sees that there is tremendous sincerity in the members of the Theosophical Society, that they are trying to live what they are talking about, that itself will attract attention. I am certain of this. And that kind of living of the Theosophical life can come only if we are continually learning to subordinate the self for the sake of the common good, for the sake of all humanity and the renewal of the human mind. Unless the human mind changes, there cannot be a good human society, the prosperity, happiness and peace which is necessary to let in order that every person may grow to the fullness of the stature which is possible for human beings. I think that it is necessary for all of us to think very deeply over this whole question of what is the fundamental note which the society has to strike. And if we understand the true character of the society, then everything else will be rightly balanced, find its true place in our work.